We're going to give Rick a chance to preach today.
Amen.
If he can get untangled. We'll just give him a moment here to get untangled. You guys can't see out there. Rick's got a lot to untangle.
I got it. Though he got it. Kidding. I ain't you serious about that. More than I care to want to think sometimes. All right, well, that song really says it all, doesn't it?
Amen.
We all have stuff that we have to deal with. Stuff, whether it's past lives, whether it's Corey had stuff. He had lots of stuff. He had warrants and jail time stuff, right? You're not the first one that's crossed our paths with that particular problem. We have stuff. Thing is that the world's stuff chokes out God's stuff. Just robs it. Robs you. See, that song says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. See, God knows we need things. He knows we need to eat. We really need clothes. I mean, particularly me. I mean, let's not get crazy, but he knows I need to be dressed. But he knows what we need. In fact, the scripture says he knows what we need before we even ask him. He knows this thing. He's, for whatever reason, our minds get sort of screwy, and we put this, I don't know, this caricature of God is that he's some mean, nasty guy that just wants to steal all your fun. Anybody ever felt that? Anybody ever had that impression? I mean, be honest. But that's not God, is it? I mean, Corey, you've been through a massive deliverance. You and Maggie, just massive deliverance of God's abundant grace and goodness. And what did it really require? Did it require you doing some big, great grant? No, it just required you doing what? Seek ye first. Put God first, right? And he knows what you have need of. He also knows what will hurt you if you get too much of it, so he keeps that away from you, right? But God, we serve such a good God. And for whatever reason, and I know what the reason is. See, our flesh hates God. Our carnal man hates God. And if you agree with that, if you agree with your carnal man, then your perspective of who God is and what God wants for you and how much he loves you, it gets all screwy. It gets all messed up. And you start taking correction as, you know, not what it's meant for. See, God says he chastens those he loves, right? And he scourges every son whom he receiveth. It also says that at the time, it isn't really happy time when that happens. But it's good for us, amen? It's good for us. And a lot of times what happens is we find ourselves in a place where we're there because we didn't seek ye first the kingdom of God. See, we started seeking our own things. We started seeking what we want. And then I'm a guy, Steve knows, if I want a thing, let me tell you, I can justify it. Pretty hard and heavy. I mean, I can make that work. So oftentimes to my detriment, every time to my detriment, when that thing isn't God's thing. And you find yourself, or I find myself, in a place where I almost get a little bit hopeless. The right word? I don't know if that's not the perfect word I'm looking for. I get sort of where it's hopeless. But see, that's not of God, is it? Is God a hopeless God? No, God's a God of mercy and love and forgiveness and redemption. Amen? So that hopelessness is not of God. That's of the devil. That's that old man wanting to keep you in that space, so you got to throw that away. And then you go back and you, well, we sang the first song was Jesus loves you. What does that mean? If Jesus loves you, that's a good thing, right? I mean, how much does he love you? Well, you know, if we go over real quick to Romans, it's here somewhere. My arms are getting shorter. I think it's here. Okay. Here it is. Romans chapter 5. Let's talk a little bit about God's love. And if I get emotional, I ask you guys to forgive me, because when you come face to face to the realization or the recognition of just how much you need Jesus, and you begin to get a glimpse of just how wicked and evil your heart is, then his miracle and his gift that he did for you becomes that much bigger. So verse 6 here. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the who? Ungodly. See, that's you, and that's me. Ungodly. Ungodly. Before you met Jesus, before you came face to face with him, had you ever really considered yourself as evil and ungodly? Probably not. Now, I have a different background than a lot of you guys. See, I grew up with my dad, right? So, and my mom was very religious. So, I mean, I don't know a time where I wasn't in church, okay? So I just always had church. Unfortunately, the churches I went to were not about preaching the gospel in the sense of how much you need Jesus. They were about telling you how good you are, and Jesus is happy to have you. Oh, kind of a, that's bass awkward, isn't it? But that's what they preach today. That is the gospel of the modern church. God's lucky to have you. No, but that isn't what this says. He died for the ungodly. Ungodly. So that's where I find myself, is, you know, ungodly, in desperate need of help, in desperate need of a Savior. Goes on to say here, says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while ye were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, think of that for a minute. I mean, you ever go out of your way for somebody? Do something nice. Did you do it for somebody because they were nice to you? Or, you know, was there a reciprocal thing going on here? Or, I mean, I listen to people when they get into the whole Christmas season and stuff. You know, it's about gift given and received. You know, what am I getting? And if I'm going to give, then I better get, right? Well, Jesus isn't like that. He died and made a way for all of us to be free and be saved and be delivered and be healed and be, gosh, just completely free of all of that garbage while we were yet sinners. When we had done nothing, nothing, but be his enemy. That's when he did it. That's love. Amen? That's love. So when I go back and I think of that, seek ye first the kingdom of God, you know, sometimes we get seeking all this other stuff because we actually don't believe that Jesus is going to take care of it. I did that for years and years and years about a wife. Steve remembers all the girls I went through in Vermont. It was slim pickings, but I tried. I didn't believe God. I didn't believe he was going to handle it. Then finally he handled it. I learn more every day about the goodness of God. The carnal man, the carnal mind, every day tries to get you thinking that God isn't good. You can't listen to that. You can't give that any space. You cannot give that even, we were talking before service in Steve's office and they mentioned weeds. You know, if you have a garden, you get the weed out immediately. If you don't get it out immediately, what happens? It takes over. And those things that would come against you, mostly out of your own carnal nature, to tell you anything other than God loves you and anything other than he will keep his promise. He will fulfill what he said he was going to do every time. You can trust that. And anything that would tell you otherwise, you got to get rid of it. Put it off. Reject it. Give it no space. Give it no space. And then as you begin to do that, your whole perspective on everything that's going on around you is going to change because you're going to see it through the goodness of God. You're going to see, you're going to begin to see God's hand of goodness in your life, even when it's something you don't like at first, even when it's something new or something different or some big dramatic radical change that you think your world is ending. Oh my God, that's it. But if you go back and remember that God is what? Good. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. I could go over to 1 John chapter 1, which is one of my favorite passages in the Bible, because there's everything in there. The goodness of God, the fact that it, you know, there's a means for when we screw up, there's a means for that to get fixed, praise God, right? My little children, I write these things unto you that ye sin not. But if ye sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. That goes back to Romans 5. He died while we were yet sinners. And you will never, ever, ever deserve that sacrifice. You will never be able to be good enough to earn it. You will never be good enough or righteous enough for it to have made sense for him to have done that. Will never happen. He loved you or loves you because he loves you. That's it. He just loves you. He loves you. And when that stuff comes into your life that's hard to hear, and you don't know how to deal with it, well, you know what? There's someone that knows how to deal with it. Who is it? Who is it? Everybody, who is it?
Jesus.
Jesus. Does he love you? Yes. Does he want you to be close to him?
Yes.
Does he want you to know his ways?
Yes.
Does he want to have a relationship with you?
Yes.
Amen. Then anything, any thought, any emotion, anything, whether it's from left field or in your own brain, anything that would tell you otherwise is a lie. Is a lie out of the pits of hell. Because the goodness of God can't be questioned. Cannot be questioned. It is certain, it is sure, it is steadfast. And you can trust it. Amen?